Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of you. Every one of you has a mother, right? How many of you have a mother who is still living? Yeah, quite not too many. We're glad to have Giles and Angel Armstrong back after a trip to England to be with his father for a week, and they did a tour of Scotland. And Pastor Dieter was busy this past week with committee meetings for his denomination, Evangelical Free Church. And so he asked me if I would share with you this morning, because he was quite busy during the week. We're glad to see Lucas and Jeanette and their son Owen here, just moved to Florissant. We welcome you and get acquainted with them afterwards. And we have a Mother's Day fellowship dinner, so we hope all of you will stay for that. There's loads of food, and we're just so glad that we can have this time to think about our mothers and to honor them. The second Sunday of May is set aside as a day to remember, a day to reflect, and a day to show love and appreciation to the person who brought us into this world. So we're glad that we can honor mothers today. And we just pray that this will be a rich blessing to you, and that you will not only reflect on your mother, but those who are mothers will determine to set an example before your children, as many of you are doing. And so Kelvin read the from Luke, the we're going back to Christmas in a way with the Christmas story and thinking about the mother of Jesus. This past week, my wife and I had quite a surprise. Those of you who don't know, that's my wife that likes to sit on that organ bench. But we got a call from someone in Minneapolis. And he told us that some of our students from 35 years ago at the Hung Yong Medical College in Hunan Province in South Central China had found out where we are and were going to come to see us. It's a very interesting thing. You know, they were able to get in touch with the teacher who was before us at the Hung Yong Medical College, Randy Farmer from Minneapolis, teacher with the English Language Institute in China. And they had contacted Randy and said, can you find John and Peg Merwin? So Randy went online and he did a lot of searching. And finally, he found a picture of me speaking at the Community Fellowship of Christians in Lake George, Colorado. So they sent an email to Pastor Dieter, and we were able to meet them again after 35 years, I'd say. We ready with the... They were students of ours at the Hung Yong Medical College. We were teaching English there with English Language Institute China. And they came to see us last week. On the left is one we call John and his wife of about 30 years, June, and then that's Randy Farmer, the little guy, you know, on the 5 foot, 6 foot four. And then on your right is a doctor we call Esther. And we sort of caught up again with things going on. John became a Christian under Randy Farmer's guidance before we got to China in 1980 1987, I think it was, 1987. So John was the only Christian on campus that we knew of. But John was so enthused about his love of Christ and his faith that he would share with especially the other fellow students in the dormitory. And then he'd come, and every so often he'd knock on the door of our apartment there on the campus, and he'd say, "This is so-and-so, he's ready to pray." So John would interpret, and we would make sure the person had faith in Christ. And during the 2 years that we were there, John led 16 others to faith in Christ. It was just amazing. And we all went to a open church at that time in Hungyang City. And the pastor and his wife had been leading. They were quite old at that time. But the pastor, it was actually a man and woman who weren't a man and wife. But 10 of these guys went to see her and said, "We'd like to be baptized." And she said, "Well, you'll have to come here steadily for a year and then come and we'll talk about it." So these 10 fellows, including John, went faithfully to the church for 10 years. They said to her, "We'd like to be baptized now." And she said, "You know what will happen if you receive Christian baptism? You'll become ABC doctors. They won't give you a good place to be a doctor. ABC means aspirin, B, Band-Aids, and cough drops." So that really is a put down of the doctors. But they said we wanted to be baptized anyway. So we went to the church with our foreign affairs advisor, as we did every Sunday, and we saw at least 20 people baptized there in that church. Now, on the right, I said, is the doctor called Esther. Esther was married about 10 years, had a son, and then her husband left her and the boy, and she found out that he would like to come to America, her son. And she got an invitation from a company, pharmaceutical company in near New York City, and she came and has been in the States since that time, about 10 years, I guess. They all have, besides their MD, all three of them have a PhD in medicine, and John and June have studied to become psychiatrists, and they live near the coast of mainland China. But Esther had an interesting story. Her son is 21 or 22, living in Indianapolis. And I say, "How often do you want to see her? How, or do you see him?" She said, "He doesn't want me to come see her or see him at all. When he was in college, he didn't like me to go to the college to see him." We don't know. She has a relationship with him, but I guess he, being Chinese and here in the States, he doesn't want to see other people to see him with the Chinese mother. But hearing Esther's story made me think about on this Mother's Day, the mother of Jesus, a beautiful rendition by Simon Dewey. And so I've thought about sharing about Jesus' mother. She was a mother with treasured memories. As you maybe caught Kelvin read, after the angel appeared to the shepherds in the field, they came and found, just as the angel said, the little baby Jesus lying in a manger, the feed trough of the cattle. And then they went and excitedly told everybody they saw about this and what had happened to them. But Mary quietly, it says, treasured all these things in her heart and meditated on them. So she was so different than the ones that went out. I know you probably can't read what it says there in the, I guess that's blue or purple, but it made me think about the mothers and Mary, the mother of Jesus, such an example of obedience and humility and thoughtfulness. So as we think about our mothers and the things that we experience growing up, I think just setting aside one day a year to express appreciation to our mothers isn't enough. It should be very often, because Mama was there, as someone wrote on the line, Mama was there for you when all your friends deserted you. Mama loved you when nobody else cared about you. Mama consoled you when your friends hurt your feelings. Mama took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself. Mama supported you when everybody else gave up on you. Mama put up with you even in your season of rebellion. Mama went above and beyond for your sake, and because Mama prayed for you. And so on this Mother's Day, we reflect on our mothers, and those who are mothers can think about the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. This thought of Mary treasuring all these memories in her heart and thinking about them often made me realize that we need to form memories with our children as mother and father. We need to have these memories that not only we can treasure, but someday they will think about treasuring. And so this says that Mary's was a mother of Jesus, and in Luke tells us that she was a virgin. She was from she was in Nazareth. Nazareth was a small town at the time Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and a very insignificant town in northern Israel. So we recognize that Mary's social status was quite low. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't from a wealthy family. And it makes me think that God chose one who was a humble servant of his to become the means for a marvelous miracle that would take place that would change the whole world. Mary was obedient. First of all, we think about some of the things that Mary would treasure in her heart. She was a virgin betrothed to Joseph, a man of the house of David, and very humble status, no societal standing up. God chose a simple servant of his, probably, as scholars figure, about a young teenage, because that was the age when girls got betrothed in Israel at that time. And so perhaps Mary was 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere along in there. And then we have this annunciation, it's called, when she received the divine calling. The angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You have found favor with God, and he has decided that you will be the means for bringing the Messiah that the Jews had looked for hundreds of years. You will be the instrument through which the Messiah, whom you will name Jesus, will be brought into this world." And he said that you've been chosen for this divine calling, this event that would change the history of the whole world. And that's called the Annunciation, her divine calling. And she said, "I'm the servant of God. I will do just as you have said. So she said yes to that divine calling that was so significant. And then there was the visitation. After that, after she had said yes to Gabriel, the angel, she went into the hill country to visit Elizabeth, who was a relative of hers. And when Elizabeth saw her, she, who was also miraculously pregnant with John the Baptizer, she said, "The baby has leaped in my womb." And she said, "You will be blessed of all women, among all women." It's what we call the Hail Mary, the Annunciation. So after the visit, the Annunciation, I mean the visitation. So when Mary responded to her cousin Elizabeth, her relative Elizabeth, then she made this song that we call the Magnificat. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." So we see from the Magnificat, as we call it, of Mary responding to Elizabeth, that she really knew the scriptures and had a sense of purpose for her life now in this divine calling. So we have her in these treasured memories, remembering the message from Gabriel, the angel, and then the visitation with Elizabeth. But then she became a witness to this miraculous event of having a baby born there in humble circumstances. She wasn't from a wealthy family. She wasn't living in a castle. There she was, and she no doubt put the straw in the manger where the cattle would feed from, and maybe put a blanket or something, and there she had the baby Jesus. So then the next treasured event, no doubt, would be going to the temple with her husband Joseph and the baby, which was required by the Jewish rules. And they met Simeon, an elderly man who, another an elderly woman, Anna. And they recognized somehow that this was the child who was going to be born. But then Simeon gave a prophecy that after he said what would Jesus would be so great, then he said to Mary, "But a sword will pierce your soul." And that must have been a kind of a shock. No doubt Mary was completely obedient to what God called her to with this divine calling to become the mother of the Messiah, the Savior. But there must have also, no doubt, been fear and societal ostracism, perhaps, because she was pregnant without a husband. And Yet Joseph was faithful, and he also got a message from the angel that Mary would be born, Mary would be become pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And so we know her as the Virgin Mary, because it says in Luke that she knew no man. Then there was that dangerous flight into Egypt, showing us the courage of Mary, who, because of her maternal instinct to take care of her son, they made this, and the wise men had said that Herod was going to, or someone let her know, and Joseph, the angel, gave him a vision that Herod was going to massacre all the young male infants in and around Bethlehem. So they made that dangerous trip down to Egypt. And then we don't know too much about Jesus' early years, because Joseph and Mary then returned to Bethlehem, and then when it was safe, they went back to Nazareth, and Jesus grew up in Nazareth with learning the trade as a Jewish boy would always learn. He followed his earthly father with becoming a carpenter. So there was then the fact that it says Mary, the mother of Jesus, emerges from the pages of Scripture as a young woman of deep faith, chosen for a task of immense spiritual significance. What we learn is that after the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus had told his followers to wait in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there among about 120 others. So she was faithful and courageous, and she became a central figure in the Christian story of salvation. So it's a wonderful example of a mother who was obedient, a mother who was courageous, a mother who was faithful, and spiritually guiding her child. Peg's cousin sent us something online that I thought was very interesting, and I want to conclude with this about mothers, and for the sake of our mothers here. This is called Mama, mommy, mother, mom. I'm just going to read this because it was so special to us, and I thought it would be nice for sharing it with you. The mother set her foot on the path of life. "Is this the long way?" she asked. And the guide said, "Yes, and the very way is hard, and you will be old before you finish the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and the mother cried, "Nothing will ever be lovelier than this." Then the night came and the storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, "Mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come." And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead. And the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to her children, "A little patience, and we are there." So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, "Mother, we would not have done it without you." And the mother, when she lay down at night, looked up at the stars and said, This is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage, today I have given them strength. And the days went by, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond they could see a shining road and golden gates flung open. And the mother said, I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning. For my children can walk alone, and their children after them. And the children said, you will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates. And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. But she is still with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. You, mother, are always with you. Your mother is always with you. She's the whisper of the leaves as you walk down the street. She's the smell of bleach in your freshly laundered socks. She's the cool hand on your brow when you're not well. Your mother lives in your laughter, and she's crystallized in every teardrop. She's the place you came from, and she's the map you follow with every stake you take. She's your first love and your first heartache. And nothing on earth can separate you, not time, nor space, nor even death. That was written by Marilyn Monsanto. So I say to the mothers, to the mother with an anxious heart, we wish you hope. To the mother running on empty, we wish you rest. And we wish to the mother with a broken heart, we wish you peace. To the mother aching to have a child, we wish you gentleness. To every mother, regardless of how you got that title, we wish for you to know how preciously loved and valuable you are. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, set a tremendous example before us as she raised the one who would give his life on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And we don't worship Mary, but we thank God for her example, and we worshiped her Son, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have again in 2025 of remembering our mothers, and we want to honor them. We know they are not perfect, they are human, and some of them have made many mistakes, but we recognize that we all follow the example of Mother Mary, the Mother of God. We just rejoice in you and praise you, Jesus, for ministering to each one. Mothers people who didn't have a mother who was faithful and loving and kind. And perhaps Mother's Day brings a heartache to some. But we pray, Lord, that your presence will be experienced by each one, and that we will know the gift of your love and mercy and the power of your mighty salvation through Jesus our Lord. We pray in his holy name. Amen.